was eating at Culver's this afternoon, and we had ordered 63, and I was disappointed. It was so close. You know, I'd say order 66. And later, the table behind us, I heard them receiving order 65. So I did look around the room to see what numbers were on the other tables to see where 66 was, but I couldn't find it. I was hoping to witness that happening.
Who wanted to bear witness to the greatest travesty the Galactic Empire has ever known?
No, just, you know, it was an anticlimactic story, but...
It's just a little laugh.
That is what happened.
Right? Just a little giggle throughout the day.
A little cackle.
You guys then were telling me that I should have just kept ordering separate orders until I got to the number I wanted.
You say, hey, quick. Get me another order. Haha, order 66. And everybody laughed.
You heard
money well spent.
Hello, and welcome back to Star Wars Total Rewatch. We're rewatching Star Wars, as the name implies. And we are watching The Clone Wars.
Ooh.
This is Season 6, Episode 7, Crisis at the Heart. I'm Daniel, your host today.
And I am Cody, your co-host for the day.
And I'm Aaron, your co-co-host for today.
This is the last episode of the Clovis arc.
He was so well-intentioned, you know? Right. He's just this great, well-meaning guy who just happened to get caught up in the wrong spot. He had no choice.
He's a tragic hero.
We see a few of those in this show. Satine comes to mind for sure. Some of these people would have actually been good at their job if it were not for the meddling of the Sith.
Those darn Sith. Let's see, what happens in this episode? Clovis gets inaugurated, I guess, as the leader of the banking clan. And then it all just kind of just falls apart for him. Dooku shows up and it's just like, yeah, we're not going to pay our interest. So he's forced to raise interest rates on the Republic. And then separatists attack and Clovis dies in the end. You know, I was really rooting for his redemption, but...
Well, He didn't need to be redeemed, really. Like, he was doing okay. Just everybody else was...
exonerated.
Dooku and Palpatine were both using him for their agenda, and everything fell apart pretty quickly.
So, we talked a lot in the previous episode. I feel like we were kind of trying to make sense of the scheme that Palpatine and Dooku were plotting. And, like, I had to stop and say, this doesn't make sense, it won't make sense, I need to stop, because it's distracting me from whatever the show is here. It doesn't make any sense, that's where I'm going to stand. The summary of what's happening is they're making Clovis out to be the fall guy, so that blame doesn't get placed on Dooku or anybody else. So it's all Clovis's plan, and in the end, now... Palpatine is overseeing the banks.
Right, to prevent something like this from happening again.
Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth and things that happen within that plot, but I can't make any sense of it. So if we want to discuss some of that, we sure can, but I'm like...
I don't feel that Dooku had any real leverage over Clovis.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. He shows up and says, like, well, you don't want them to know where your information came from, or you don't want them to know that I was helping you get into this position. But, I don't know.
So there's some character traits that are shown, and I appreciate that we're given time to see that, and, like, that was written into the plot, but, like, the reasons behind it just don't make sense. Like, there was no reason for him to raise interest rates on the Republic since they immediately invade after the fact.
His reasoning behind raising interest rates was just to keep the banks afloat, because since the last leadership had basically drained the accounts where there was nothing,
right,
Dooku was like, yeah, we're not going to pay our interest, so that means that you guys will basically just collapse because you're not going to be able to get enough money to cover everything.
I think it made enough sense.
Yeah, but why did Dooku make him do that?
I don't know. It was just to make them look even worse in their eyes.
No, then the Republic would have a reason to go and attack because they said, oh, clearly he is not an impartial leader. He's doing just what we thought he would do.
They were not going to go and attack. No. The only reason the Republic goes to attack is because Dooku invades.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
So what, that's what I'm like, what was the plan? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I think this, the as far as the plot goes, the banking plot of things here, the three episodes they gave it could have been stretched out to, like, you know, you could have a show that took a whole season to tell this story. Right. And I think the outline would have been the same, but it would have filled in a lot of these blanks and made it make more sense. And it would have been like a, you know, financial, like we said, political thriller intrigue type of story.
It feels like they're taking cues from a show like that and just kind of generalizing some terms and some schemes.
Yeah. Following the broad outlines of it without feeling the need to fill in the details.
Without going too deep into it. And I don't think we should either.
To me, the middle episode was by far the most interesting one, which had all of like Anakin, Padme, Clovis drama and stuff, which doesn't sound like it would be that interesting, but they just did it so well, I thought.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kept me interested with just the financial scheming as like the backdrop for it.
I could imagine they wanted to lean into Padme and Anakin's relationship a little bit in a tie over into Revenge of the Sith. Show some of that contention developing between them, right? And so then how do we formulate a story in order to strain that relationship? Well, okay, let's bring back Clovis, blah blah blah. Let's make it revolve around the bank or something, just some reasons. But then it's like, oh, now the first episode is set up for that story. The second one is actually what we wanted to do in the first place, and now we're just having to resolve that somehow.
Yeah, tie up all those ends somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. It also kind of shows more of a Palpatine's slowly consolidating more and more power himself as well.
Yep, that was a good thing to show too. I really didn't think these episodes are bad. They're actually like a lot more serious than a lot of the show. Mostly the plot was just a little hard to follow.
I'm sure the next arc is going to be incredibly serious.
Yeah, the next couple episodes are yes, quite different.
Just to keep in line with plot development. Mm. Basically, Clovis gets put in charge, then Dooku just invades, and then the Republic just sends a response attack, and Dooku just leaves because he was just there to start a war and get the Republic involved.
Yeah, they want the Republic to take over. They're not even trying to fight back.
No.
Which you'd think would be suspicious, but it's not. Nobody is ever suspicious of this stuff.
So a lot of this episode is a battle on Scipio.
Mm-hmm. We see the Valiant last stand as well from some of the Coruscant Guard troops.
So there are a couple named clones. Always good. I think they're new ones too.
Oh, who do we have here?
We got
Hawk.
Hawk. That's it.
Was the one piloting the ship that drops Anakin off. There's a clone commander, Thorn. He's the one that valiantly dies on the landing pad.
It was a thorn in those droids' side.
Are you adding their names to the list?
I better believe it.
Yes. Another thing to point out is this episode is the appearance of an awesome starfighter.
Is it those?
Yeah, they're rocking Z95 Headhunters.
It looks too similar to like the other ones. I guess I didn't know.
The Z95 Headhunters, the precursor to the X-Wing, basically.
Okay. I thought they looked like X-Wings.
It's something that also shows up a lot in the hands of pirates during the time of the Empire. Just showing, you know, what happens to all those old military equipment after the war.
Sounds like a radio station. You're listening to Z95. Coming up next, the Headhunters. Ooh.
One thing that also happens is the Separatist senator that's there actually protests as well to everything that's going on.
Hmm.
And so Dooku has Padme kill him using the Force.
Yeah, Padme grabs a battle droid's gun, and then Dooku turns it to shoot the Separatist senator.
Is she going to shoot Dooku? She's trying to.
Oh, right. That was never going to work, was it?
No, but I don't know. But just she's giving it a try.
Senator Beck the Wise. Senatine. At the end here, Anakin is facing off against Clovis, who has Padme held at gunpoint, which is always a bad look. And a ship crashes into the building they're in, and Anakin is holding on to both Padme and Clovis in each of his hands. What a convenient situation.
And he can't hold both of them.
Actually. Of course he can't. And the Force has no role in this dilemma.
Doesn't he have a robot hand that can just like...
That's a good question. That robot hand should be able to hang on. Well, that's the one Padme is holding.
I guess he still needs the upper body strength to still pull him up, though, I guess.
Come on, Anakin.
Yeah. Notwithstanding that he really should have been able to pull them both up, we'll just accept for this episode that I guess he couldn't for some reason.
Right.
That's not how the Force works.
And so Clovis sacrifices himself to save Padme, basically.
So, yeah, so Anakin can get Padme up. I feel like Clovis doesn't really get a good chance to explain himself, which is often the case in these shows.
Yeah.
So that's what I was like. Maybe this is the redemption that even if he was the biggest traitor in the world, hey, he sure loved Padme in the end. That's got to count for something.
They should have just had Anakin drop him. It would have been more befitting his character.
Anakin's like, see ya. Anakin did try to save him, so that's a credit to him, yeah.
The relationship between Anakin and Padme, we're commenting on how they were taking a break last episode. Padme was like, let's not see each other for a while, please. Does this kind of bring them back together again? Like,
seems like a little bit.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
It sure seems like it. It's interesting because I don't know that they really go into any detail on that. They're just still a couple as far as we see.
It seems as hard as it can be, and how awful Anakin can be sometimes. It's like they definitely rely on each other or have learned to rely on each other. So,
and I think this sort of situation they were just in where they're like in an exploding building together and he's trying to pull her up off the side and the one guy died. He's not even in the picture and he died to save her. And I think there's just so much going on. Maybe she just needs, I don't know, they need each other for some kind of stability or something. I don't know.
What's the quote from Speed?
Don't let this bus go below 60 miles per hour? That quote?
Yeah, that's relevant to this. Yes.
Relationship based on intense experiences never work.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
And it didn't, and it doesn't work, you know, but I wonder if there was some element of that keeping them together here.
All right.
What was the deceit? Is the weapon of greed.
Deceit. I sit on deceit.
Of greed.
Of greed.
Oh, boy. Yeah, with that exciting pun, be sure to join us next time for episode 8 of season 6, which is titled The Disappeared, part 1.
Part 1.
We've never had a part 1 before.
I guess there's a first for everything and a second.
Right. We'll see you all there next time.
Bye.
It's a wrap.